Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. My name is Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
This episode, we talk all about mom shaming. Is it real? Have we become too soft as a society? What if the true feeling of mom shaming is coming from a feeling of guilt rather than actual shame? Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you to level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's.
Okay, hello, we're back. Okay, so we've been getting a lot of comments on a TikTok I posted of a little clip of one of our episodes where we talked about how like daycare raises cortisol. It was the episode where we talked about how babies and moms just like are meant to be together. And it's getting like some hate. Well, maybe not necessarily hate, but like people are offended by the facts. Cause like in the clip, Kate's saying like daycare raises cortisol. And then I'm saying like how we shouldn't be separated from them or something like that. And people are like, wow, like I'm just a terrible mom for dropping my baby off at daycare and this and that. Or like, I'm sorry, I have to work. I can't afford food. Well, like that doesn't negate the fact that baby's cortisol gets raised. You know, like you shouldn't feel bad for a decision you are being forced to make.
Yeah. Facts are just, we need to stop. And this is coming from a mom whose child was in daycare the first 1.5 years of his life. So like, I'm not saying like, oh, woe is me. I got to be a stay-at-home mom with my child for his whole life. No, the first 1.5 years, I was dropping him off at daycare for 8 hours a day. So like, I know, I just feel like I can talk on this because even though I knew the facts, I still had to drop him off at daycare. And like, that's okay. We're not blaming moms. We're blaming America. We're the only country, one of the only countries, maybe we are the only country that doesn't give moms adequate maternity leave. Like in Canada, one of my friends, I believe she had 16 months or something, something over 12 months. It's just crazy. So it's not, we're not saying it's the mom's fault, but we are saying that like facts are facts, whether they hurt our feelings or not. That's the whole premise of this. Yeah. And I feel like even with breastfeeding and formula feeding, like the fact is breastfeeding is very much superior to formula. But breast milk literally can turn off cancer cells. A formula absolutely cannot do that. Am I glad that we have formula for babies that truly need it? Absolutely. But I feel like we've gotten to a point as a society where we stopped telling moms the facts of breast milk simply because we don't want to hurt their feelings. But like, in my opinion, that's offensive. Like, why are we hiding the truth from moms? We're actually hurting moms and babies by hiding the truth instead of being like, well, we don't want to hurt, you know, that is best. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It's like, wouldn't you want to hear the truth over being slightly offended? And that's coming from me, who, when I was pregnant, I had zero plans of breastfeeding. I was like, I want a formula feed. I thought they were the same thing. I had no idea about breast milk. Everyone just told me like, yeah, formula feed, it's the same. But there was a group of girls who were like, everybody needs to at least try to breastfeed. Like, you're doing your baby a disservice. And I remember feeling so offended, like felt, quote unquote, mom shamed. And now when I look back, I'm like, that wasn't mom shaming. That was literally a fact. And I felt offended because I wanted to make a different decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're confident in your decisions, you wouldn't feel shame or offense or anything.
Yeah. Same, I think, same thing with like the cry it out thing. Like,
That's a big one.
The facts are, with babies laid down by themselves in a different room than mom, their cortisol spikes and they truly feel like nobody is coming. They are going to die. They're left in the wild. Like that is how we are evolutionary, biologically have always been designed because when like our ancestors, they couldn't put their baby down. Anyway, the facts are that raises cortisol, that messes with the nervous system. But like so many parents get offended saying, I was so depressed. I had so much anxiety. You don't understand. I had to
Sleep my kid up. Oh my God.
Like, yeah. But it's like the facts are still there. And you made a choice to do that. And maybe it helps your family. So that's great. But the facts are still there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Like I said, if you were confident in that decision, you would not be offended by the facts. Like facts do not have feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate the Fed is best movement. It's like,
so just toxic.
Done such a disservice to women. And I think
that was like the whole point of it, honestly, to like divide us. Like that whole campaign was started by formula companies to sell formula.
And also, it's like historically, they came up with formula and convinced moms that like formula was superior to breast milk. So they were having moms buy this formula. Moms could no longer afford it. Their breast milk dried up. Their perfectly good breast milk dried up, and babies were then starving because they had been tricked into thinking, like, obviously all moms want best for their babies.
Mm-hmm.
So they were tricked into thinking that formula was best, and then their baby's starving when they can't afford it anymore. And it's just like, same with, there are levels of formula, like worst to best.
Yeah,
that is just a fact. And I remember when Barrett was born, thinking like, I can't afford the good formula. I was just going to get like the Similac that I because I was on WIC, or is that what it's called?
Yeah,
WIC, where they were going to give me the free formula, but my choices were only like the Similac. And it was just a fact that like I could not afford the nice formula. So it was either Similac or breastfeed. So I ended up breastfeeding. But it's just, I hate when I scroll on TikToks and people are like, asking for best recommendations of formulas, and there's moms and they're saying like all formula is good, none is better than the other. I'm like, you know, people get on us saying like, what credentials do you have to be saying XYZ? But it's funny that these people like will give their opinions with zero facts behind it just because it makes them feel better.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And I do feel bad for the moms that are like, well, I literally never had milk come in. That happens in a very small percentage, for one. I think if you think it happens to you,
it's like 5 to 10% of women,
I think,
or something.
It's even less than that.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's, I thought it was like around 3 or 4. I think a lot of women think that happened, their milk didn't come in, because they're in the hospital like, oh, my baby's crying, or like whatever. And they're telling them right away, give them a Binky, give them formula, just supplement, or like pump. Like, and then they're pumping and nothing's coming out. Well, yeah, newsflash, the baby's stomach's the size of a marble when they're born. They don't need more than a couple drops. And then they're supposed to keep feeding 24/7 to get your milk to come in. And so I think women think they don't have milk because they just don't have that education or support. Mm-hmm. That's obviously a huge problem too. But the women who truly don't get milk, like obviously formula is a very needed thing, but like, let's think about it. When women didn't get milk 100 years ago before formula, 200 years ago, what did they do? Other women fed their babies. They had community. They
would bring sheep in, and they would literally put the baby up to the sheep's boob.
Exactly. So yes, formula can be a tool, but like there are other options. And if you're feeling bad about the fact that there are simply other options, then you need to look inward on why you're so upset about it. I mean, fed is not best. Breast is best. 100%.
Also, I would love to know, and if someone knows, tell me, what education do nurses have in the, like after you give birth? Because two times, my friend has three kids. Two times, her first baby, they told her, do not feed that baby more than every 2 hours. Like, he better not be on the boob. It has to only be every 2 hours. You need to spread it out because he was like a big baby. I think he was like 9 pounds.
God.
And then same thing happened with her daughter. She texted me and was like, the nurse is telling me I can't put her on my boob except for every 2 hours. And I was like,
Riminal.
I was like, okay, well, the first, you're the mom. The nurse is not your baby's mom. And two, what, like, where is she getting this crazy idea? Like, baby is meant to be on your boob 24/7. Not only one to make your milk come in, but two, it's like a comfort thing. We are the original pacifier. Like, we are the passy.
Yep. It's for everything. Emotional regulation, heat regulation, breathing, everything, especially when they're first born. Yeah, fed is the bare minimum. That's the baseline, right? Yeah. Breast is best.
And like, thank God we have formula to feed babies. We get it. It's just, we got to stop hiding the facts because we're scared to hurt people's feelings. Literally not even just in motherhood, just like, in general, everyone is just so afraid of offending people now.
Yeah. And honestly, a little shame is good now and then. It gets you thinking about maybe your decisions aren't the best.
Yeah.
And opens, like you said, like you felt shame and then you started looking into it more and you're like, oh, they weren't just being mean to me. Like, they were right. Breast milk is best.
Yeah. I feel like so many times, I think when you become a mom, you either can become like victim mentality, or you can literally just be like, yeah, I got to do the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like so many times, not even that moms wanted take easy way out, but it's just like nobody gives us a chance to just let it be hard. Like, it's okay if you struggle for a little bit with breastfeeding, or, you know, it's okay if your baby doesn't sleep for a little bit. Like, we're just so used to like Band-Aid, quick fix. Baby doesn't sleep, just put it in their room, sleep train them. It will be the best decision in your life. But it's like, we don't know the long-term outcomes of, well, actually we do now. And it shows that it messes with a child's nervous system for life, because will they remember it? No, probably not. But does their nervous system hold on to that?
Their body holds on to trauma.
Yeah.
It's circumcision is another one that seems to trigger people into a shame spiral.
Mm-hmm. And that one I just don't get, because like I didn't know better. I didn't know anything back then. And like when I look at the facts, obviously I'm going to choose differently next time. But like I don't feel shamed or like, I'm such a bad. I just literally didn't know. And I'm just going to move on. I can't go back and fix it. So it's like I'm just going to move on and know better, do better. And I think some people would rather not listen to the facts and would just rather keep doing what they're doing simply because they can't take the emotional toll that it could come over them. Like some moms I truly think would rather just like stay in the dark about topics just because, one, they don't want to research them, or two, it seems overwhelming, or three, they feel shame. And it's just like, I feel like when we become a mom, like we just got to put our pride aside. That's the best mom isn't the mom that knows everything. The best mom is the mom who is willing to unlearn and relearn. And I will, that is like, I will take that to the grave.
Yeah. And your child comes first.
Yeah,
absolutely. I feel like it'll be that way until we die too. I mean,
literally, I think of my mom. My mom has 4 kids. She still every day is like not necessarily doing stuff for us, but like she is like worrying about us, caring for us, like asking if we need anything. My sister lives in Florida. My mom drops everything anytime she needs something. Like my mom is going there like once a month, once every 2 months, just anytime my sister needs something. And it's like when you become a mom, it's not just, oh, fun for baby stage. It's like for the rest of your life, or should be, I think, in my opinion.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think the shame maybe is necessarily like they feel like a need to attack whoever is making that, projecting that shame onto them. But it's like, like you said, it's like coming from a place of like guilt or regret. Mm-hmm. And like that is definitely something you have to work through as a mom because there's literally no time for that. You have to just move forward and figure out what's best moving forward.
Yeah.
What's another one? Another good shame. Oh, the homeschool versus public school.
Yeah.
It's a big.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just
can't stay. I can't stay home. So
I just messed my kid up because I sent him to public school. I also hate that like my kid's fine. My kid turned out fine type of thing that moms say. I'm like, that doesn't mean that was what was best.
Yeah, exactly. Also, who's really fine?
Yeah, well, no one who was born in the 90s, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't name one person I feel like I know that doesn't have something.
Yeah.
And not that like we're the perfect parents by any means, but it's like.
Well, I'm sure my child will be in therapy one day too.
Yeah. Everyone just thinks they're doing their best or trying their best to do their best. I don't know.
We all are doing our best. Oh, also that reminds me too. I have gotten some comments like that I don't trust other people to watch my child. And like, trust has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the fact that like, I want to be there every day doing all the things. Like, I don't want to leave her. I don't physically feel ready to leave her. She still very much needs me. She's on the boob a lot still. She's 14 months, but like, she still very much needs me. She can't tell other people what she wants. She can't process the fact that like, oh, my mom's coming back, you know, she doesn't know that. So it has nothing to do with trust and everything to do with the fact that I don't want to leave her. And so, she just said hi. I don't know why we're making moms feel bad for wanting to be with their baby too. Like, oh, you need to put her in daycare. Like, you need to let someone watch her, like, for your own sake. And this and that. Like, I feel fine. I don't need that, you know? So, like, why are we shaming or trying to make moms feel bad for wanting to be around their kids? It's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, I think it also goes back to the we're not meant to be separated from our kids, yeah. but it's like, it's the norm to be separated from your child. So yeah. I think everyone's automatically like, well, how are they going to socialize? How are you going to have a break? Don't you want to have other hobbies? And like when people ask me what my hobbies are, honestly, I'm just like, couldn't think of one besides being yeah. the mom.
I'm the mom.
What? Yeah. What? I couldn't think of one other hobby that I consistently do.
And truthfully, I used to roll my eyes at women who would say, like,
yeah,
my whole personality is being a mom and this and that. I'm like, ooh, like, you need your own identity. Mm-hmm. You need to work, like, a job, blah, blah. And now I've completely changed my tune, which is another thing I think women moms have a hard time doing is changing their minds on things yeah. and changing their opinions on things. Like, just put your pride aside. It's okay to, like, see, like, okay, maybe this is a better decision for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I agree, sister.
What's some other things that people try to make you feel bad for? Oh, like when people, moms try to make other moms feel bad for like feeding their kids healthy.
Yeah.
I'm the worst mom in the world because my kid eats a snack or like a goldfish snacks or something. Calm down. No one's saying you're the worst mom in the world. All we're saying is, hey, there's better options out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good option. And it does, like, food dyes do cause neurological disorders, right? Seed oils are inflammatory. Like, hey, your kid's having a tantrum. That might change with a dietary change.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm just the worst mom ever. No, these are just facts, and you can do with them what you will. Do you get that a lot on your posts? Like, people talking about how, like, food's not bad. Those food choices aren't bad, or, like, they're yeah. bad.
And honestly, here's the thing. We know that only like 10% or less of all disease is genetic. So like lifestyle is 90% of like that is a fact. Lifestyle contributes to 90% of disease. So it's like, why do we keep lying to people? Mm-hmm. Why do we keep pushing the narrative that no food is bad food and you're going to give your kid an eating disorder? And it's just like, if you watch my child eat, like he almost always picks the healthier option just because he knows I'll get him like this treat or the snack or the like every once in a while, like whatever he wants when we're out. Like it's not, I just think we can have a balance of like, hey, we get this stuff sometimes and then like we eat well most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I do know. I think that's, I don't know how I'm gonna handle that sort of stuff.
I know. I've really switched. I literally, up until Barrett was like 3, I was like, never will he have something bad if he goes to a birthday party. Like, I'll bring our own. And
yeah,
never will he have fast food. And it's just, now I'm just like, because I know eventually he's not going to live at my home. When he's 18, he's on his own. Well, hopefully he'll always live with me. But when, like, he goes to college or gets his own place, and it's like, I remember, like, my sister had a couple friends whose parents were super strict. And when they got on their own, they just went absolutely crazy, ate absolute like crap, like, and it's just, I think that the people who are restricted are the kids who go crazy. So it's like, I just I felt like I needed to find a balance, but it'll be interesting when Joey and I have kids, because like Joey's way more
disciplined,
yes, than me when it comes to like, because like if Barrett wants Chick-fil-A, like I'm going to get it for him, because it's not like it's happening every week. So it's just, it will be interesting to see how Joey goes into it.
Yeah. Like,
I think toddlers should be having like fast food and junk? No, because they don't know the difference. Like,
yeah.
And I think part of why Barrett eats so well is because like those first 3 years, he wasn't having like mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, french fries. He was just eating whatever I was eating, which was like steak, chicken, rice, vegetables. Like he loves all of that food. And then once we kind of got his like palate established, I was like, okay, it's not the end of the world if every once in a while he's having this food. And then I also think like we don't do shots, he's not getting pharmaceuticals. It's just like his body overall has to be doing 10 times better than the average kid. What were you gonna say?
I lean more towards Joey. Joey's like kind of discipline. And but then like Larry, he'll eat fast food 1 to 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And so at first in my mind now, I'm like, she's getting to the age where she's like noticing and asking for what we're eating. I'm like, you have to like
hide that, you know, like I don't want her thinking that it's okay to eat that all the time. And so I don't know where I'm going to fall. I definitely will wait until she can understand, like, hey, this doesn't make our body feel good, but like, it's okay every once in a while and this and that. But yeah, you're right. Like right now she has no say in the matter. So like, I'm only going to give her, she doesn't like for her birthday. I did the watermelon cake with whipped cream that I made. Everybody was so taken aback that she wasn't getting a cake with sugar and gluten and everything. But I'm like, she doesn't know.
She has no idea.
Literally doesn't care. Like, why would I put that in her body when I know, like, it's not going to serve her any purpose? Like, it feels like a responsibility, you know?
Also, it's kind of the same thing with, like, when people tell me my kid just won't drink water. It's like, why do they know anything else besides? Like, they only want juice or chocolate milk. And it's like, why do they even know what, you know? It's just we get to make the choice of what we bring home. And before anyone says, like, well, I don't have the budget to be only buying healthy food. I'm not kidding. Healthy food is actually cheaper.
I got a carton of cheap eggs at Sam's Club today. 18 of them. $5. A box of cereal is more than that.
Yeah.
A box of cereal is 18 eggs for $5.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then we'll get the moms that say, like, well, my kid goes to daycare, can't control what they eat, like, send them with food or whatever. You know, like, I would never send my kid to a place that wouldn't allow them to bring their own food.
Well, or just even, like, I don't know, I feel like you can find daycares who are on your wavelength. Like, the two daycares Barrett went to, they were like, they were crunchier than I was, so I knew he wasn't getting chicken nuggets, french fries, mac and cheese. Like, I've seen TikToks of, like, daycare providers, like, door dashing Taco Bell for lunch and all these things, and it's just like, they don't even know. You could make them homemade tacos, and you know, it's just, we set the tone
for how. There's this influencer I follow, she does, like, the trad wife, like, baking everything, cooking everything. Her name's Gretchy. She's got, like, I think almost like 500,000 followers, but she swears, I think her oldest is maybe 10. She's got three kids, I think. She swears they've never had anything processed, like, at all. She makes everything. And I believe her for sure, but people do comment, like, hey, like, when they go to school, like, aren't they eating other kids' stuff? And she was like, I trust my kids that, like, I've taught them well and they know, like, these things hurt them and blah, blah. And I'm like, that's cool. I think that's gonna be me.
Yeah.
Cause, like, you're right, like, they can't get addicted if they never have it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it just also plays down to, like, each kid's personality. You know, like, maybe some kids will feel like, yeah, I don't feel deprived. I, you know, and other kids are like,
yeah,
I just want to sneak this stuff. Like, I know a family who's super strict. So when their kids get away, it's just like they're, like, gobbling down the candy and the pop and the, you know, chips.
Yeah.
But then there's other kids who are probably like, I don't care. Like, my friend Andy's son, he's just genuinely like, no, I don't want that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, some kids, like, just don't have a sweet tooth either for junk food. But, like, I hope I'm not, like, strict, like, restrictive, right? But, like, just showing that, like I made a comment to Larry the other day because I make a maple sugar candy, which is, like, to die for. It's so good. And I said to him, like, I hope she, when she thinks candy, she just thinks, like, these things that I'm making, like, these natural whole food things. Like, she doesn't think, oh, like, Snickers or Reese's or whatever, or Smarties. Like, she thinks, like, whole foods. And so when she is around those, like, quote unquote, like, candies, the store-bought candy, she's like, ew, like, this is gross. Like, this isn't serving me or whatever, you know? Like, she's 14 months and I give her my maple sugar candy all the time because it's literally butter and maple sugar. And it's so good. And, like, that's actually really healthy for you. There's a lot of benefits to maple syrup and there's a lot of benefits to butter.
Yeah. I still need to, Joey and I cannot get the recipe right. I think we're not boiling it long enough.
It's, like, the easiest thing in the world.
Maybe
I just
made
some right before we got on.
Yeah. I need to retry. You're, like, waiting till it bubbles, right?
Yeah. And then you're still stirring it.
Okay, I think that's where Joey, he was stopping as soon as it got to a bubble, and then it was super thin, but it should be thick. Like,
it'll thicken up on the pot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we were going wrong.
And you can make it, like, this gets more advanced, but you can make it, like, more like a hard candy, or you can make it to where you can, like, bite in and, like, melt in your mouth.
Okay, how do you make it hard?
you've got to have a higher heat than medium. So higher heat and still same process.
Okay. I'll have to go back to your video. And that's what I do for the marshmallows. Every time I want to make them, I just go back to your video and just play it on repeat for like 10 minutes.
I'm about to post a pumpkin spice marshmallow video.
Wow.
I'm not about to. I have to film it, but that's on my to-do list.
'Tis the season.
Just the season. Oh my gosh. Speaking of which, we were in Walmart today and we were in the men's shoe section and they had like, you know, all the slides and like just cheap shoes and like cute like character slippers for grown men and everything. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I'm going to go see what they have in the women's section. And they had the only slippers they had were these huge, big, bulky pumpkin spice slippers. They were like in the shape of a pumpkin spice cup and they didn't have any of the slides I wanted. I'm like, is this gender?
Discrimination.
Discrimination for sure. It was funny. I was like, wow, they just think we're just all pumpkin spice basic, which
did
kind
you get
of
the
I am.
Men's?
No, I went and held them in my hand and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go to Amazon.
Smart. Is your Sam's Club in town?
Nothing's in town. I have to go like 20 or 30 minutes.
Sam's?
Because it's Costco's over an hour. Sam's Club's 25 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And Romy hates the car seat.
Yeah. So. Did she scream today?
She cried on the... She cried. Yeah, that's not gotten any better. I'm like, we have friends coming in. My mother was here this week and she was like, come to OKC with us. They were staying the night there. I said, no.
Yeah.
I want to, but I can't. And we have friends coming in on the... in October and he's like, pick us up in the airport and we'll go like do 7-8 OKC. And I'm like, we're going to because... He really wants to, and my stomach hurts, and that's, you know, weeks away still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. And it's not like, you know, she's uncomfortable, because, like, she goes to Cairo and stuff.
I think she's, like, a doer. She just wants to do things.
Mm-hmm.
She hates being strapped out. I truly cannot remember the last time I used the stroller, because she hates the stroller.
Yeah. That's tough. Barrett loved the car. Instantly would pass out. We used to travel so much more when he was little because it was just he would just put him in the car and he'd just pass out.
Yeah, we see all the time those parents like, oh, my kid wouldn't fall asleep, so we put him in the car.
Yeah, that's what I used to do for nap time. I used to put him in the car. He'd be out in like 3 minutes, and then I would just drive back home and transfer him.
I have a theory, and this is just my theory.
You think you need a good sleeper though.
We do, yeah. She is a good sleeper. But I have a theory that, like, she's holding on to some trauma from, I don't think I've ever actually talked about this. She got the tongue tie revision thing, and they, like, wrapped her up really tight in this thing. And I'm like, I think she's got trauma from that. Like, anytime she's strapped down, that's what's happening. So I don't we need to figure out some
Was she good in the car before that?
She was only, like, 2 weeks old when we did that.
Yeah.
And she cried the whole way home. We pulled over on the highway because I couldn't stand it. I was so like had, you know, terrible hormones rushing through me and I just like I was crying. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's the worst.
That's one of those things I didn't know better really. I knew about tongue ties and stuff. I didn't know a whole lot about them. And I don't think hers was bad enough. I wouldn't do it again. Like, I wouldn't do it again. I would just do a lot of body work, which my chiropractor did and everything. But, like...
Aren't you supposed to be doing, like, body work and stuff before releases anyway? And your lady
which
just not tell you?
Oh. Yeah, no, we did. I just... Yeah, it was horrible. I would never do it again.
Yeah, Barrett is working with this place called Myo Matters, I think, but it's for like his airways. He also has a tongue tie. So they were like working on the movement of his tongue. And they said he can get it clipped. But now I'm like, dramatic.
If he's that age, that they'll like numb him and everything. Like they don't even, they don't
they
do
didn't
that.
Numb her?
They put like a little topical, but like, so Larry got his tongue tie clipped that same day. And they gave him like a whole shot and everything. But she was only upset that day. She was fine the rest of the days, like when I did the massages and everything. But I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
I think Barrett, I mean, if Barrett, you can like talk to him and he'll understand.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Which helps. It might make a difference with his, because he mouth breathes at night, right?
Mouth breathes. Yeah. That's my biggest concern is mouth breathing and he's getting cavities.
Yeah. Does he have his adult teeth?
Only two. But I want to like get it fixed before he starts, you know, losing all of his baby teeth, because I don't want him to get cavities with his big adult teeth. And like, I never had, I think I got like had a couple cavities when I was little, but not like him. And it was just onset. So it's like, it's not something he's eating. It was definitely like, as soon as he started snoring and mouth breathing, then that's like 6 months later, the cavities were there. So
I got a lot of cavities as a kid too. And then they had me chew every night, chewable fluoride tablets. My pineal gland was so calcified.
Oh my gosh.
I can still taste them. Like, that's how often I had to do them. Like, I can still remember that.
Ugh, yuck.
I know. I had some jacked up teeth.
Should we wrap up the episode?
Yeah.
All right. Take it away.
Anyway, so the point of all of this was,
stop getting so offended, because nobody's trying to offend you.
Yeah. Be confident in your decisions. We know we're all doing the best we can, but we also know most of us are missing a lot of the information. Mm-hmm. Like, we are not given the information. So choose to listen to whoever you want to listen to, but find the information for yourself before you get all ants in your pants mad. And, you know, just be confident in your, if you read all about formula and you're still treating formula, more power to you. You are making the decision you think is best. So that's what we have to say.
Amen.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.